Paul, I'm both nervous and excited for this opening segment.
Okay.
Because, Paul, you shared that you have a bit of a cough?
I do. I have a little frog on my throat today.
Which I've always thought is an odd expression. I guess it makes sense.
Yeah.
But it's really old-timey.
Yes, it is. Just like me.
You Gen Xer.
That's right.
Okay, Gen Xer. You know, I don't even know that joke.
Oh, it's good.
All I know is that it is a joke.
Yep. It's epic.
But I'm nervous.
Yep.
Because, well, I'm nervous and excited because Paul just busted out a bag of my favorite cough drops, Fisherman's Friend.
Yep.
And, oh, they smell like a pack of Newports.
Oh, man, it's harsh. This is the only stuff that works, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, like, that'll soothe your soul. But I also thought that, are we going to repeat the jelly bean fiasco?
I'm going to really try to keep this lozenge kind of out of the way, so I'm not masticating into the microphone like we did last time. Yeah. Got a lot of feedback about that segment, actually. It was not good.
You know, you try to do something new.
That's right.
For the fans.
I know, for the fans.
Also, I've been with Fisherman's Friend for some number of years now.
Yeah.
I do kind of miss the paper sack that they used to come in.
Oh.
It just felt a little more old-timey.
Yep.
But gosh, don't they look like just little bits of hardtack?
Yep.
Oh, and also, I am not a healthy boy. When I get a cold,
yep.
One bag of Fisherman's Friend will last me a day.
Oh my God.
Tear through them one after the other. Oh, sometimes I double down on them.
That can't be good for you.
No, but it keeps the coughs away.
That's true. That's what we all need for this podcast.
Speaking of this podcast, what do we have first on this week's podcast, Paul?
First up is Stranger in the Alps.
Yes. Here on Hometown Sounds.
Thank you.
I made certain to quickly chomp through my fisherman's friend lozenge before we got started. Yeah. Paul, you said you have a question for me?
Yeah. Do you remember that time a few years ago when you weren't feeling great and we had some fire cider on the podcast?
Yeah, I do.
And then we tagged them and they listened to our episode.
Let's do it.
Yeah. I wonder if we can do that with fisherman's friend.
Well, it's great you bring this up because I was actually just about to go into not the deepest dive, but a dive nonetheless on some little factoids about fisherman's friend. And they are as follows. One, a fisherman's friend has been around since 1865, and which is cool that this isn't really related, but I was just thinking about how Necco wafers are in the process of being, or either have been or in the process of being discontinued.
Yeah.
Because they're awful. But what I also learned about Fisherman's Friend is that they come in a number of other flavors.
What?
Yeah. So I had run into the cherry before.
Okay.
And it's kind of what you'd expect, kind of cherry plus the medicine of the menthol lozenge. It's kind of on the nose on, you know, what it would be. But there is also black currant.
Yeah.
Mandarin.
I'll take it.
Mint.
Yep.
Spearmint.
Yeah. Duh.
And citrus.
All right.
And you can buy them in like a multi-pack.
Yes, I'm doing that.
Also, what's fun is I found this on eBay, this very handsome fisherman's friend tin.
Yes, I need it.
Describe it for the listeners at home.
It's got like a...
Your commute.
It's got like a seaman on it, like with the full the gear and the beard and everything. And he's got a big... got a big sailboat. It's great.
But what is also cool about Fisherman's Friend is that they run their website like a blog.
Yeah.
So all the posts are like little stories,
yep,
as opposed to just like click here for products, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But they have a segment called Meet the Super Fans.
Oh.
Do you want to submit?
I think we need to. Yep.
High fives.
All right. Doing it.
That was the weakest high five ever. That was a five high palm.
There you go. There you go. Much better.
Cool. Yeah. Anyway, enough of the friend.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Hometown Sounds. We show you how DC rocks. I'm Paul Vodra.
I'm Tony Parecco.
And that was, of course, Stranger in the Alps with a brand new song called The Days Are Over Sooner, But the Light Is Better. They have a new EP that just came out, and that is the title track of the EP. We last featured Stranger in the Alps on the podcast just back in June of this year with a song called Old Fears that also appears on this EP. Stranger in the Alps is fronted by Steve Kolowich, whose day job is journalism for the Washington Post and other outlets. And Stranger in the Alps is his musical side hustle, which is wonderful.
Stranger in the Alps is actually having an album release show this Friday night, November 15th, at the Scooby-Doo Mansion in Mount Pleasant.
I've not been to the Scooby-Doo Mansion before. That's one of those house venues that I have not checked out. And maybe I need to for this release. I really love that band. Do you remember when we hosted them at the Kennedy Center's Millennium Stage? That was a really good show. One of my favorites. You can stream it now on YouTube if you need a little bit more Stranger in the Alps in your life. I have this quote from Steve that he posted on social media about the release of the album. He says, "Writing songs is something I've enjoyed doing, though I find it pretty difficult. I came to music late, and I tend to be pretty slow and precious when making anything, writing, drawing, music, whatever. Something that's really rewarding about being in this band is watching my bandmates and collaborators take an idea and apply their skill and enthusiasm to it. It makes it bigger than anything I could create or really even imagine on my own. It's even more amazing in retrospect since we kind of just barreled into the studio with these after like two rehearsals. That's a brag on my bandmates, not me. I threw these song skeletons at them and they zapped them with magic wands. And by the time the songs landed, they had feet and legs and cool clothes and were doing the superhero landing pose and everything. Does that metaphor work?" Anyway, he has put out kind of a few random singles over the last maybe a couple of years now, and now they're all gathered together on this EP, which makes me very happy because Stranger in the Alps is one of the best. Also, in case you don't know, we've mentioned it many times before on the podcast. What is the origin of their band name? Stranger in the Alps.
It's the cable TV overdub from A Line in the Big Lebowski.
There you go. That's all you need to know. So today was kind of a big day for me on social media. This all started when you and I went to the Black Hat. For a show date that we talked about on this podcast. We made the date on the podcast. We saw the makeup, who were fantastic. We saw Light Beams.
I would say Ian Spinonius, his crowd walking was biblical.
Oh my God. Yeah, it was like slow motion crowd surfing. It was definitely terrifying me in a lot of instances. And I was worried that it would not be enough people.
Which makes me think of the time that I went crowd surfing during HF Festival to Sum 41 on the street stage.
Yeah.
And I got dropped on concrete.
That hurts. It hurts to be right there. So at the show, there were a lot of people there to see. I was saying hello to a lot of fun DC music people. And one of them was Miss Stephanie Williams, formerly of DC Music Download. A lot of people probably remember that website. She was the founder of it, and they got started maybe like a month after we did. After I launched Hometown Sounds in like December of 2011, I think DC Music Download popped up in like January or February of 2012. So she packed up shop on DC Music Download to move over to the Washington Post Express, which also unfortunately just packed up shop. But she was doing a feature there called DC Dream Day. And that was one of the features that moved from the Express to the Washington Post's Going Out Guide. And they have featured a number of DC music people, musicians and others. Sasha Lord was, I think, the most recent one. Garrett Gleason has been one. Mark Meadows. But anyway, so I saw Stephanie at the show and she said, hey, do you want to do one of these two? And of course, I said yes, because that's a really awesome opportunity. So I did a little phone interview with her. And man, that, I tell you, that was hard. Because
how so?
Well, I'm used to writing. If I'm going to write a piece about, hey, here's some of my favorite things to do in DC.
But you talk on a podcast.
I know, but then the words that I say were transcribed into the paper. And we don't do that on the podcast. So it came out a little strange. Also, and it's just kind of strange to see your words in print, but that you didn't get to type them. You didn't get to edit them. You just said them. And then a week later, you're like, oh, I guess that's what I said.
Oh, it's horrifying.
So I know.
Because I was on Date Lab.
Oh, geez. Yeah, exactly. So anyway, I picked some cool things that I really like in DC. I picked Ambar, this restaurant in Clarendon. I picked Glenstone, the museum out there in Potomac. Northside Social. Of course, Big Planet Comics, my favorite comic book store.
They were thrilled for their inclusion.
They were. They're my friends over there. I knew they'd be tickled by it. Where else? Rhizome, one of my favorite places to see live music, the weird stuff, the cool stuff. Robin Bell, who does the projections. I theorized in the article that we could see where he's projecting and go check it out, because he's usually projecting some very staunch political thing that I, of course, completely agree with. And projecting it on a building, and it's great. And then, of course, finishing up at Galaxy Hut, my favorite bar. So please check that out. I think it's going to be in the weekend section. It's coming weekend. It's online. We've posted it on all our social media. And let me know what you think about it. And, you know, if there's somebody else that you think deserves to come up with a DC Dream Day, then make that known. And I could pass it along, and we'll see what happens. How about that?
You had cool stuff happening to you. The only cool thing that happened to me is that I got the back door to my apartment weatherproofed.
Yes.
So the first year I moved there, I was just like, man, it's cold in here.
I know. I remember that.
But then I just thought I was crazy. I was like, I live indoors. I'm like, there's nothing wrong here.
Oh, yeah.
But then the second year, I was like, what if there's something to this? And I put my hand up to the door and I could feel a little draft coming in.
Yep.
And I didn't do anything that year just because I didn't really know what you do for that.
All right.
But this year, I got a handyman service called Hourly Husbands to come over and put on some dope weatherproofing. And it's all tight and snug. And I like things really warm in there. And things are all right now. And
yeah.
Actually, just as we're kind of cooling down now in November.
Oh, yeah, we are.
So Paul's in the paper and I'm warm. That's that is the takeaway.
We're all doing good. Let's hear some more music. Do you know who's next on the podcast?
I do. It's Sand Tiger.
That song was called Summer Routine by Sand Tiger.
Yeah, we know a record close to nothing about this artist.
But that's how they want it.
They're a duo committed to making experimental pop. Kind of reminds me of Rah Rah Riot a little bit.
All right.
Their image photo has nothing to do with sand or tigers and is rather a flamingo. Some song notes. This song is reminiscing about an unexpected summer fling, which I think is kind of contrary to a routine, but that's just me trying to put two and two together.
Yeah.
Their song art is some very good ASCII art of various animals, ASCII being the American... come on, Paul, you do computers. What does it stand for?
I don't know what ASCII stands for.
Gonna edit later.
American Standard Code for Information Interchange.
And what I did learn is that the ancestry of ASCII art is kind of serious and goes back as early as like the 1890s.
Oh my God.
When people would run paper at different angles through typewriters to make images of stuff.
Oh, okay.
And originally, there was some serious hating on ASCII. Like, one publication wrote about the foolishness of attempting to make sketches by means of typewriters. But that is where we get... That is the origins of the Struggy guy, man.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Yeah, we last featured Sand Tiger on the podcast about exactly a year ago with another song called Those Days. And they just emailed us. They didn't even include a name. They just said, hey, friends. Like, remember that song you played? Thank you. Here's another one.
Yeah. I got to say that ASCII art reminds me...
Have you ever had any ASCII art? I'm sorry to interrupt. Have you ever made any, like, printed it out and had it on your dorm room?
I have not done that, But
had a good Mario level or something.
No, that's weird. But it does remind me of video games because I got started playing video games on a Commodore 64. And some of those video games came from a magazine that you would type in, which is just insane now.
What do you mean by type in? Like would you like the take source a page code, out of...
No, yeah, the source code would be in the magazine for the game, and you would transcribe it into the computer and then run it, and then you could play a game.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah, and the thing is, of course, that means you don't have graphics, right? Because you don't really have the capability of making graphics just with the keyboard and whatnot. So that for the graphics, they would use characters. So you'd have to know that like this A is you and this D is a bad guy and a period would be a bullet that'd fly or something like that. So very, very primitive. And this is what I learned to play video games on. Let's play some more music, though. Next up on the podcast, it's my new mixtape.
Thank you.
I love those scents rather than like really bright scents. That's kind of more of a mellow color to me, like on Loco's Summer Teeth.
Yes, indeed. Also, those like pedal steel sounds were really good. That was Bang Spark, new song by My New Mixtape. My New Mixtape is Jared Nicolai, producer and also one half of Astrovia with Olivia Mancini, who we have featured on the podcast before. It was back in September of 2018 with their single, You Don't Want to Know. This is Nicolai's first solo appearance on our podcast. His new album is called Fall 2059, and the description is, leaked 40 years early, My New Mixtape's timely concept album offers soothing and occasionally unsettling impressions of life in the future age. You can pre-order this album now on cassette with an accompanying digital download at mynewmixtape.com. So Jared is definitely very big on physical media with his music releases. I think all of his My New Mixtape releases have been on physical media, either cassette or CD or vinyl. And we are super happy to get to premiere that single before the full album comes out, hopefully next week. That's the rumor that I hear. Also, this has gotten me to think about mixtapes. And the other thing that's interesting with the timing of this is that I read this graphic novel yesterday, and it's called All the Sad Songs, and it's by Summer Pierre, and it was actually published by Big Planet Comics, who I mentioned earlier.
Huh.
They also publish graphic novels. My friend Jared does that, which is really cool. And this is a retrospective of kind of a memoir of this graphic novelist as she was a musician in the Boston scene in kind of the late 90s. And there's a lot of features in the graphic novel that I am showing Tony now of like actual mixtapes that she would make and label, and then she would print in very small type the track list for the mixtapes throughout the graphic novel. And I was reading this, it's a very good graphic novel, and thinking about my own mixtapes that I made. And of course, mixtapes are, you know, a thing that you would make and you would give to people. And I don't have any memory of giving mixtapes to people.
Do you ever make CDs for people?
I did make CDs. Part of it is that I moved into CDs kind of early. It's a little strange that the first car that I got in 1991 had a CD player in it. And ever since then, I've had CD players in my car. And so when I got that car in high school and I got the CD player, I told all my friends to get me a CD because you couldn't possibly get me something I already had because I had no CDs at that time. And then I've just been on the CD bandwagon ever since, and I left tapes behind.
Mixtapes for me, I didn't make them for other people. For me, it was just for myself and taping songs off the radio.
Right. Yep. I did that too. Which I think everybody did that.
Which was just, oh my God, the adrenaline rush of hearing a song you wanted to record.
Yeah.
And like being able to get there in time. Yes.
And that meant you could listen to the song whenever you wanted instead of just when they played it for you. And nowadays, that seems so quaint.
Did you ever call any radio stations to make requests?
I don't think so. Did you do that? I don't have any memory of that.
I did, and it was always an embarrassing affair.
Oh, geez. Did you get through? Were you on the air?
I was never on the air. I do remember an occasion of making a request and it getting played and being really thrilled.
Yeah.
A friend of mine in college recounted an experience of calling his local radio station and asking them to play Pavement. But then he said to them, but not Cut Your Hair.
Mm.
And then they just played Cut Your Hair.
They heard that and they're like, oh, that's what he wants to hear.
And Wes just rolled his eyes because that was the one Taven song everyone knew.
Everyone knew that one. Let's play another song on the podcast now that we don't have to tape off the radio. Next up on the podcast,
Franklin Gotham.
Nearly 6 a.m. sun is creeping up, becoming clear to me. I've run out of luck, another wasted night. Whiskey, wine, and fear that you're not here. Clutching coffee cup, burning from my eyes. Can't wash away sins we had inside. When walls break down, I'm left all alone. I should have known. Even your face, remembering things I thought were
Paul said while we were off mic was that this is a very poppy episode of the podcast.
That's absolutely correct.
That was Franklin Gotham with a track called We Were Dumb.
Franklin Gotham is Kevin Atkins, Christopher Speak, and Jared Nicolai, who we just featured on the previous song.
And they are the only band in this podcast episode that is brand new to us.
That's right. Everybody else has appeared previously on the podcast, but not Franklin Gotham. Kevin and Chris were also members of the band Ice Wagon Flew, which I had not heard of before. This song, We Were Dumb, is a new single available to buy on their Bandcamp for $1.
And while Paul dutifully put together artist notes for this week's podcast episode, I tracked Twitter photos from band member Kevin Atkins' trip to Hawaii, ranging from November 3rd to 9th.
That's
kind
of creepy.
Were 29 tweets or Instagram posts in total.
Yeah.
I looked at all of them. Nice. All looked very nice.
There you go. I want to go to Hawaii. That sounds great. We got more music for you on the podcast. Can you handle it? Next up, it's Warm Sun.
Hearts flooded out of rooms.
I didn't know that narrative and lyrics is something Devin Ocampo did.
Mm-hmm. Yes, if you read the lyrics to that song, it is pretty straightforward that it was written at the 2017 Women's March, and the song does include some audio from that event, and it is called See You at the March, and it's by Warm Sun. And Warm Sun is Devin Ocampo of the Effects and Beauty Pill, his partner Renata Ocampo on drums, and Jason Hutto of the Aquarium and Soccer Team. It's a pretty power trio right there. This is the advanced single from Warm Sun's debut album, Hope You Always Find It Hard to Leave, which you can pre-order now on Bandcamp. It is coming out on both CD and cassette if you are a physical media kind of person. You should definitely check those out. We last featured Warm Sun on the podcast back in 2016, because that is the theme of this episode, apart from Franklin Gotham. And they are having a record release show this Sunday, November 17th, at the Black Cat's Red Room, along with Foul Swoops. It's a pretty solid show right there. I think I'll recommend it. And that almost takes us to the end of this episode of the Hometown Sounds podcast. Please subscribe to it. Please tell all your cool friends to subscribe to it. We need those subscriber numbers up.
Rate and review.
Yeah, rate and review it. Share it. Do all the great things. Follow us on social media. That's another great thing. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It's all at Hometown Sounds. Nice and simple. No underscores. No weird characters. No numbers.
No ASCII art.
No ASCII art. Nothing confusing. We have a website. It's hometownsoundsdc.com. We got show picks. We got music videos. We got song premieres, occasionally interviews. You know, whatever we can find. We put it up there. We have an email address. It's dj@hometownsoundsdc.com. Please drop us a line. Let us know what you got cooking up and what you'd like us to play on this podcast. Because the important thing, of course, is to support the musicians that you've heard on this podcast by buying their music.
And seeing them play live. And by the way, Paul, I just had an idea for a concept episode.
Okay.
What if we have listeners write in with requests?
Okay. I kind of like it. Yeah. All right. Well, check social media and see what we're going to do about that. And maybe we'll do, what would be really cool is if we had like a call in, you know, but I don't think we can handle that. That might be hard.
Oh, this is an audio editing dream. Oh, this would be so fun to stitch together.
Well, while you think about that, I'm going to tell our friends listening to the podcast that we have one last track for them. This is Shamans of Sound. This single is called In Search of a Homeland. It is one of three new songs on a new EP called Mother of Exiles by Shamans of Sound. They are a DC reggae act featuring veterans of bands such as Nappy Rhythm, Inkwell, Dub City Renegades, and many, many more.
We last featured Shamans of Sound on the podcast back in October of last year with a song called Love Lessons. The song features trumpeter Joe Herrera and saxophonist Matt Ripito, who are well-known members of Thievery Corporation and CI, and also play in one of our favorite holiday groups, the Harry Bells.
Love the Harry Bells. The Mother of Exiles is a reference to the Statue of Liberty, and the title of the song alludes to refugees who are a political sore point in our country and around the world right now. And we really enjoy the sentiment of it and hope that this song touches you in a very instrumental and cool way. Going to send you off into the world to do some good stuff and, go see some live music, go buy some music. And that's good. Thank you very much, Tony.
Thank you very much, Paul.
All right. We'll see you all next time.